present in the need from the market to grab hold of our attention. And then, yeah, just seeing all these places that happens. But then also realizing that what is being sold is not healthy. So emotion gets manipulated, and the unhealthy way of life got sold to us. So slowly I started to feel that I needed to defend myself against that. I needed to be more aware. I needed to cut on social media, for example. So many times I would sit in meditation and the only thing that was stuck in my head was a fight that I did not have on social media about a subject that I didn't care really, but I got triggered for some reason. And then I tried to sit in meditation and nothing happens. And I'm like, I can't go in meditation because my mind is too busy. So I was like, oh, that is not great, doing an activity that completely stopped me from meditating. So again and again, examples of the culture that we live in and affecting me in a negative way, and slowly feeling that I need to go against the current. So countercurrent of what's happening and countercurrent to what is sold there as what would bring me happiness. And of course, it's a lifetime of process. As a kid, I was already annoyed by the whole process. But anyway, I was writing an article a few weeks ago, and then that word popped in, spiritual warfare. And I was like, oh, what is that? Why did I wrote that word? I probably read it somewhere because it sounded like something. And of course, in a spiritual way, they talk about spiritual warfare as fighting evil forces of the dark and demons and blah blah blah. But as a martial artist myself, I realized that I don't apply my learning from martial art into my spiritual life. I go through life and I get attacked by. Lately, it's been other people. I have been kind of in a different situation where my energy got drained quite a lot. And I was surprised that I did not have a spiritual technique to protect or to attack or, this spiritual warfare. So this is the story of where it all came from in my own process. So this feeling that there's a sensation of abuse from different front around me, and the knowing that I have tools to block some of that negative influence, and observing or researching what spiritual warfare means for other and how I can bring that into my own practice. So yeah, all of that mixed into this. What I'm developing now, it's a yogic and meditation perspective on what could be spiritual warfare. Now, if you've read a little bit about shamanism, this is another religion, or I don't know how to call shamanism, natural religion or spirituality or practices. It's well known in shamanism that it's one kind of lineage that they've developed attack as well as protection technique. But I'm not... I'm not a shaman, and I don't know enough about shamanism, and I don't think there's a lot of writing about that. So what I thought about is to go back to some of the foundational martial art literature. So I've been studying a few books, The Art of War by Sun Tzu, and The Book of Five Ring, And I also have a book from Tyson DeShimaru on Zen and martial art. So this is a little bit of the foundation that I want to restudy martial art foundational books with a perspective of spirituality. And oh, and yeah, anyway, there's many books. I'll make a listing of all these books that came to my mind as a kind of a foundational strategy and how to apply that to spiritual life. And here, it's not about so much destroying an enemy, a common enemy, or something like that. It's really about protecting, protection, and in martial art, it's really about winning a fight. And winning a fight might be about running away, right? It's not so much destroying your enemy. In the I'll come to some of the examples that are said within the art of war. If you can, you know, avoid, if you can be victorious while avoiding any loss, that's really your the best approach to war or martial art. And therefore, it's not about confronting, fighting, and destroying. It's about really winning the fight. It's about creating the reality that you want to create without, well, with hurting the least amount of people and without spending too much energy for yourself. All right, let's move in music with the album The Work from Gold Panda with a song called The Dream. This was Gold Panda with their album The Work and the song called The Dream. Gold Panda just came out with a new album and I did not purchase it, unfortunately. This song is still quite in the style of how he started making music with these very clippy sampling and he went more in down the hip-hop route in his latest album, which I was less charmed by, but I should probably make the effort by his album and check it out. You're listening to DJ Damaru Evolution Revolution, and today I'm continuing the idea, the concept, the self-titled The Art of War. No, the spiritual warfare through the lens of yoga and meditation. And so I started back one concept that I realized that I had is martial art. I've been studying and practicing martial art since my teenage years, and I've taken a lot of lessons from martial art to apply into my life. And when I read the word spiritual warfare, what it brought to my mind is how can I use the lessons from martial art and apply them into my spiritual life in order to protect my own energy, my own life, and protect my own way of living. Because of the overly abundant places where the current culture is coming in and taking away some pleasure and life abundance and my own way of thinking. Media seems to really want to push to a certain directions. Governance seems to have their own agenda, and it seems to be quite of a tense moment in our culture for trying to be happy and relaxed about it. It feels like you need to be whether completely radicalized and becoming against the whole thing, or you numb yourself completely through drugs and alcohol and medication and just keep thinking everything is fine. And staying at the center, staying in the middle where you work on yourself and try to become a better person and more in peace with yourself, it becomes harder and harder. So the first text that I was that I've been back to is the Sun Tzu, The Art of War, being a very solid text. It seems quite unique as a text, and it's very short, and that's something that I like about spiritual text or other texts like that, when the author condense their thoughts in a very short book. So it reminds me a little bit of the Yoga Sutra of Patanjali or other texts that I've read. That become almost more of a poem, and so that you can read and interpret for yourself. It's divided in, I think, four or five book, and dividing the different part of the warfare, pretty much. And I think I'll go through some of these strophe. I mean, you can take the whole text and analyze it from a yogic perspective, and you'll gain a lot from that. Now, the art of war, there's also this idea that you're also waging war towards your own self and your own habit. If you look at the Mahabharata, or the Mahabharata is the bigger epic, and then within that you have the Bhagavad Gita. People might be a bit more familiar with the Bhagavad Gita, but in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, the main actor there, the main protagonist, he goes to war with his whole family, and he almost give up at the center there of the battlefield. So when you look at the art of war, you can, it's not just about the external war, but also the internal war of what's happening within yourself. So it's not about using spirituality to wage war against everything that's around you, but also for your own personal process of things that habits that or some foundational knowledge that you have that you have to change. So when you move toward change and you're blocked, there is a bit of a offensive and defensive that needs to happen there. So Sun Tzu starts with the art of war is of vital importance to the state. So in Sun Tzu, he talks about war as a country fighting each other. So the division becomes kind of the ruler of the state and the ruler of the army and the battalion and all that. But all of that can also be represented with different aspect of who you are. I'm not going to go through the whole text, but just choose a few there that I found quite interesting. So in the first book on laying the plan, one of the sentence there was all warfare is based on deception. So all warfare is based on deception. So when you're fighting, when you're sparring with somebody in a martial art or boxing, and the deception is really, it's really important in that strategy. So what do we mean by deception is in a fight, you look at your opponent and look at the weaknesses of that person. And you start observing how the person react to you. If you throw a punch, they would move a certain way. If you throw a kick, they would move a different way. And by learning on the spot what are the limitations of your opponent, you try to trick that person in thinking, I'm going to punch up, and then the person will go there, and then I'm going to punch down. So in that sense, this is all about deception. You show a certain way, and then you do it in a different way. So how can then be applied, for example, in everyday life, spiritual warfare? Well, deception becomes a very useful tool when you feel like you are being manipulated in a certain direction, and so through medias or other medium, and how to be using that idea of deception. And that's something that I've been using myself. If I take the example of a digital life. So in a digital life, we know now that we're in a society of resell all the information that you are using online. So by going online, you're making these machine making money. And if you were to act in a certain way, you would be flagged in a certain way. So that's something that I've seen where people, you know, they use tools of obfuscation like Tor or trying to hide and encrypt their data and using very secure channel of communication and almost being, you know, wanting to be safe like a spy in our culture while not being criminals or whatsoever. And in my mind, it created this idea. It's like, well, if you're hiding so much, I think that you would raise concern from a state that would like to see what you're doing. And for me, this idea of deception is a very kind of a basic rule of engagement where even if you feel like you're in a fight, you don't show that you're in a fight. if you see somebody that looks angered and dangerous in a bar, well, you know, you raise your fist and start kind of looking like you want to fight them. You become aware of the threat and you try not to show that you think there's a threat. So you're creating the first deception there. And if you're using spiritual practices in order to create deception, that's something that I find very important is to some people are saying, keep your bliss to yourself. That was kind of an idea of, you know, if you experience bliss, well, keep it to yourself in a way of this is your personal experience of it. And by not sharing it, you are making it even stronger by, you know, keeping that close to your heart, your own experience of bliss, you keeping it protected. And therefore, this idea of deception is also a way of protecting yourself, not only to fight back if need to be, but also to protect what is dear to you. So deception works with a lot of awareness. So you can't have a spiritual life without awareness, and awareness of your internal process as well as the external process. You cannot be deceiving if you're not aware of what's going on. You cannot be deceiving if you're not prepared. You cannot be deceiving if you're not thought. You're not studied about these techniques. You know, if you don't do martial art, then you can't really fake an attack or come into that. So that's one of the first line. All warfare is based on deception, and therefore all spiritual warfare is based on deception. So how can you deceive what is perceived as what is attacking you? Stepping back, being aware, observing, feeling the sensation. So that's awareness. You know, of being attacked is a very important one that if you don't feel like there is an attack, well, then there's nothing there. You don't need to go anywhere else. So a little further in the text they go, the military device leading to victory must be... must not be divulged beforehand. So that's just continuing that first in that first book on laying plan. The military device leading to victory must not be divulged beforehand. So again, it's the same idea of deception to keep that within yourself. So understanding that your spiritual tools can be used to protect and to defend yourself. This is, you know, I should probably not be talking about this. I should just keep it for myself and not share it with people. But I think it's very important to share it. If you were to use these tools, then it's important that you create your own technique, you create your own strategy, and you assess how these tools are working in your life. Let's jump to I think it's the fourth book, Tactical Disposition. So every book have a different title. The first book is Laying Plan, the second book is Waging War, the third book is Attack and by Stratagem. And the fourth book is Tactical Disposition. And this is just a loose interpretation of the art of war and how it can be applied to a spiritual life. And, you know, this is my own interpretation. But I invite anyone who finds that interesting, who has maybe a meditation practice, a yoga practice, and they feel sometime inadequate in situation where they felt attack or they felt in a place where they should have been proactive or pushing something outside. I invite people to read that, The Art of War, and come to your own conclusion What I say is just for my own personal interpretation of where I'm at in my own process, but I think it's inspiring for others to just read that. So in tactical disposition, the first verse, often in these old texts, the first verse normally summarizes everything, and if you understand that, then you're good to go. And this is translated from Chinese, so every translator had their own perspective on that. The best would be to read multiple translation to start having an idea. And often when you can have the original text and see the pictogram, the letters that were used for that, it might even use for further understanding. So tactical disposition, first verse. The good fighter of old first put themselves beyond the possibility of defeat and then waited for an opportunity of defeating the enemy. And that's, you know, directly applicable to spiritual life. And that's what I find so interesting is that these, you know, you would say the yogi knows that he's already enlightened, but wait in meditation for the bliss to happen. You know, it could be just like directly translated to that. It's not about this push. It's not about this push of breaking things, but it's about this understanding. It put themselves beyond the possibility of defeat. There's no, you know, you have to put yourself in a place where you cannot be defeated, you know, mentally and in being secure in this sensation of already, you've already won and you're just waiting for the opportunity to defeat the enemy. And it makes me smile because this is directly translatable to when you're going through a process of change within yourself. You can feel defeated by the change. You can feel defeated by how reality has moved you in a different direction. Or you can simply know that you're already there and just be waiting for the right opportunity to express it. And it's difficult to explain as a metaphor, but how that can be applied. But it makes me smile how related these two are, and how the art of war is so close to the art of spirituality, and spirituality within your own demon, your own process inside of you, and within as well your external world and how the world changes you or how you can succeed over the world. Well, that was very short. I came a little late here. I hope you enjoy the few sentences. I'm going to continue to explore The Art of War and the other books that I talked about. The Book of Five Ring, which is a book from a sword handler, a samurai. The book from a samurai talking about technique for fighting and using these martial art technique in order to see what can be used in your spiritual life for your own growth, but also from this external world and how it affects you and how you can fight back. All right, let's